Hold a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tanzin Jess and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.3, Under the Temporal Influence, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tanzin, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Hi, hi.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling. Chapter 6. Harry and Bob contemplate taking Little Chicago out for its first test run to search for evidence of black magic.
Exciting things in this chapter. Almost as cool as Lash popping up.
I totally forgot about that. Little Chicago. No. And then the minute I read it, I was like, yeah.
What's crazy to me is that I have never listed Proven Guilty as one of my favorite novels when asked. I've never brought it up before. I never think about it. But when I think of individual scenes and moments
so
and
many
events,
good moments,
they all happen in Proven Guilty. I swear to God, there's so many individual elements in this book that I am obsessed with. Like, and like when I reread my favorite scenes, like 10 of them are in Proven Guilty. And I'm like, just his most recent reread. And I was like, how have I never listed this? And partially it came up because I just read it to James Marsters a few weekends ago and was asked that question too. And I was like, and then I read Proven Guilty like a few days after that. And I was like, I should have fucking said this book. Like, what's wrong with me?
Did you tell me that part? Did you tell him?
I don't know what I tell you.
Oh, what did you tell him were your favorite?
Ghost Story and Summer Night.
Does he have a favorite?
He is, no.
Is that just being diplomatic?
He's just, basically all he had time to say was that I haven't stopped crying since Battleground. And I was like, yeah, you and us.
Mm. Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough. I just figured, yeah, I was like, oh, did he, you know, yeah, it's you, yours, did you get to ask him his? But yeah. Yeah, that was a very super cool. And it's too bad you weren't early because we were almost, at the time where it said it was, I was like, oh, I might be getting off in around then. And then she'd already managed to go in and get it done. I wouldn't have anyways kind of a thing. It was pretty close, but I was like, I was this close to getting to go with her for that autograph. But I'm very glad that she got to go and get it signed. That was super cool. But yeah, it's one of those things maybe where, because you never retain anything. You're always like, I don't remember. I'm like, that's why. It was like, you just have other standout things because other people are like, this is super cool. And you're like, yeah, like, but exactly. It's like, you forgot that like all your own preferences are within this one.
But yes, Little Chicago, fucking amazing. So before that, I do like that Harry goes on this phone call tour with like, the amount of people he calls and has connections with are so different than like when he was doing this sort of cold calling a few books ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a whole new list of people now. And the fact that
he's got a network now, like a full on network.
But it's just like how the network has expanded now. It's not just a couple of like, I don't know, randoms he's run into.
It's like, not just like Murphy and Michael. It's like now you've got Father Thorhill.
Susan's
got Morty. Susan's boss
is a weird one for me. Like he's kept in contact with her this whole time over this mutual like, oh, we both like have to email Susan or like.
But like yes and no, because again, I see that as not necessarily being like a direct in touch. It, like you say, even just like a business con, right? It's like you're still the editor of the Supernatural newspaper that occasionally covers real supernatural stuff.
And that doesn't know that they do.
Yeah, but before
like, that may or may not.
So, I mean, it has to be a really vague relationship because you can't actually be like, hey.
In all fairness, they may or may not because Susan's like, I know there's real shit that she, right? I mean, again.
But Susan's one in a million.
Susan is one in a million, but I'm just saying, theoretically,
but the editor,
I'm saying
like,
working for a paper like that, I was like, I can see you being open to the possibilities.
A
kind
little
of,
bit
like,
more.
Oh, I mean, is
in
right.
No.
Is that, yeah, either you know you work for a complete bullshit paper and you're just making shit up, or you're like, well, maybe it is. Like, okay, fine, this sounds pretty far-fetched. I don't necessarily believe this, but there could, right? So yes, it is weird, but not outside the realm of possibility for me. You know, I'm like, again, I can see things like that. Like, sure, if I suddenly want to do contracty stuff, I'm like, oh, let me call up the guy that, you know, used to be our main contactor when I worked for the... But yes, it is funny, though, just how far it kind of branches out that he's like, yeah, my ex's boss for, you know, it doesn't even just say, I called the editor of the Supernatural newspaper. He's like, no, she's my ex's boss, but yeah, again.
So Billy and Morty and Butters, they make a little bit more sense. It's like, okay, yes, they've come up pretty recently and they're a little bit more.
They've got their pulse on certain Supernatural shit.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we know he's seeing Butters kind of fairly often for his wizard therapy. Physical therapy, so.
Yeah, so yeah, Butters has now been...
Everyone's in the loop these days.
Been initiated bit, into know, the world exactly. up. So yeah, have you seen any crazy corpses that yeah. have all the entire plagues of the world all at once, Butters? Has you seen any more of those? You
know? But, heading back a couple of books, The Summer Night.
Fix.
Fix, we haven't seen you in a while.
And I'm sorry, Billy, you thought you grew up.
Right? And I'm sorry, 11 times.
Oh, I read that and I cringed. Like, that I'm is like, not polite, sir. Not polite.
It's not even that. I was like, were you calling him on, like, Facebook Messenger? Because no phone in the world rings 11 times anymore.
Home lines do. He probably has Maybe a home line still. It's so early
again,
enough.
Again, but Fix is, like, mortal or whatever. I'm like, you don't have an answering machine? Bullshit. If, you know, it's just, it's funny to me that way. But I was like, I'm impressed, Fix, that your phone
got
actually
other
went
to do.
Like 11 times uh-huh. before some kind of voicemail answering machine didn't pick up. That's my only thing. I'm like, I see if you can call him 11 times, but that it rang 11 times.
But the 11 rings. Mm.
Well, that too. Well, I have to wonder, because like I say, when I wanted to update them, instead of trying to text all this stuff out a million times, I phoned the group chat between Shilmery McKenzie and Jess. And Shilmery answered fairly quickly. And then, like, an hour into it, Jessica answered. And I was like, has it just been, like, ringing this entire time?
Is it?
Like, I was like, I don't know. I was like, Kenzie never did.
I rang a group thing before. Weird.
Yeah, I'm just like, it was just so funny because we were talking and all of a sudden there was this other voice that was not even an echo of anything Shilmery or I had said. And we're like, wait,
you just
what?
Answered and then Jessica, right away and not and actually Jessica, said anything for an hour.
There's that, but yeah, it was just funny.
I'm going to see what these bitches say about me.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. So, yeah, so he finally answers. And I like how it takes him a second to clue in because they haven't talked in a while. And then, yeah, and then he's like hearing voices in the back or a voice in the back, like, Fix, you, oh my God, you were such a scared little, like, and it's so funny when you think back to that when the first time he ran into them in the alley and they like smacked him in the face and he's like, this song's hot. And they're like, he's Kaz, you know, like, Fix was such a spaz, the poor little guy. He was. And now he's all like, oh yeah, I'm still in bed at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon with some chick. What's up, Harry?
Living your best life there.
Which I'm like, come on, Harry. If you could do it, you'd still be in bed at 3 in the afternoon,
Fix
too.
Fix has got so some moves like Jagger.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's quite happy to hear from him until he finds out that it's about the summer court. And he goes,
Right. As a reminder from a couple of episodes ago, Ebenezer's concerned because how come they haven't gone to war yet?
Because the vamps are running all over the fairy world when the fairies haven't given them permission. So why haven't the fairies given them a smackdown?
What the hell, Harry? Go figure out what the fuck summer and winter are doing.
Yeah, that's why you had to fucking go on a life and death mission to fucking secure our routes through there. Mm-hmm. How come they just get
to do... just get to do whatever they want.
What? You know, I'm sorry, is the summer cart suddenly run by Milos?
So instead of talking over the phone, Fix is like, no, stop. We're gonna meet.
And it's funny too, because Harry's like, it's not like anyone could put a spell on the phone. Like, it would fuck up the phones, they wouldn't work. And Fix is like, you can still just do an ordinary mortal technological bug. And Harry's like, I guess. I'm like, oh yeah, remember all that shit the Red Court keeps doing to you? Right? Yeah.
A big advantage that they have.
You know, a low-key bomb in a pizza box, because...
Sorry, that concussion keeps kicking in.
Yeah, right? But yeah, I love how every once in a while they do remember to go here. You know, I mean, same thing like in like Hermione and stuff like that, you know, bugs and things like that. I mean, that was the flip on it in that case, but exactly, right? You're like...
The original computer bug was a real bug.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That got into the works, but now...
The moth would get into the cards.
So,
I think...
Mention. McAnally's mention.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for it, too. It was like, yeah, so they agreed to meet us
They're the coming next day. Here.
Oh my God. We're hosting a party. Yeah. Okay, but it's so
you listen
funny.
Real hard, you can hear their conversation.
Right. Yeah. 10 seconds of silence, everybody.
Which they wouldn't understand what that means because we cut that out every
of
time.
Of course we do, but that's okay.
It sometimes makes it to the outtake. It's funny enough. Oh, this probably right. will be the outtakes.
For the three people that are going to subscribe. Yep.
Okay, but this line. He's like, when the war broke out, someone managed to get it placed on a list of neutral territories. Someone.
I assume Mac.
I am right. I mean, first of all, he's the sole owner and proprietor of it. Secondly, it's fucking Mac.
Wasn't it already, like, accorded to territory prior?
It was just like a supernatural.
It was just a hangout.
It was just sort of a neutral by de facto.
Yeah, because there aren't any other, like, supernatural bars.
Supernaturals knew about it.
And it just got that little twist, right? So even, like, the
normies can't find it. So
well, no, but the low level or whatever, like the King Lane.
The
haves and have nots, right? Even if you only had a little bit, it was just kind of where people somehow ended up gravitating and congregating, and that was the local pub for the supernatural community. It was all it has ever been. So again, by rules of civility, people took it outside and didn't, but the same ways you would sort of in any kind of just civilized space. But then when the war broke out, then yes, it specifically became...
Totally overlooked that. That's cool.
Yes.
That's good to know.
Yes. But yeah, just the way he's like, someone managed to, like, it was this whole, like, I don't know who, I don't know how. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure nobody else would have bothered necessarily. I'm like, okay, I guess somebody else could have nominated Max as being the... Because of the nature of it, you know what I mean? But it was just, yeah, it's just the way he says someone. I'm like, Mac is the shit. You know that already. Like, okay, we haven't
seen... And if not Mac, Mab.
I was like, we haven't seen a shit ton, but we have already seen... Like, again, right? I'm like, Lucio shows up. When's the last time do we have record of Lucio being in Chicago and all Harry's history? And she's like, yo, Mac, got anything good to drink? And he's like, fuck you, Lucio. Of course, everything's good to... You know, like, and Mab show... Like, right? We've had all these little tiny cameos.
It makes sense because everybody knows.
Duh. Yeah. So it's like you already, even without knowing a lot about Mac, you're like, other big players know who he is at the very least. Some of them have some kind of a history, whether it's professional
this
or
is more like a
Pokestop.
And Nurse Joy is just at every single one, no matter where you are in the world. It's like every supernatural pub is being manned by Mac at the same time.
Right? But yeah, he's just like, someone managed to get it approved. Yeah, I wonder who that was and how that happened. Know. Like, the first step wasn't Mac being like, yo, Mab, I'm not in my place.
Yeah, nobody's ruining my business. That's why I think if it wasn't Mac, it was just Mab just wrote it into the accords. And she's like, no one fucks with Mac. Fuck
Mab's like, yeah, right now, like, okay.
Done.
But yeah. So, yes. So,
once he's done with his calls, he heads off to the sub-basement.
Going for a pub lunch. Harry's like, yes, I love my friends. These are my contacts. Because I know if I call up my ex's boss, she's going to take me to McAnally's.
So, one of the other things, this is where I also, like, where Harry realizes that he hasn't called Father Forehill or Michael. And then he tries to rationalize, you know, and then he calls himself and his own bullshit. But then suddenly there's a no connection signal. I'm like, is this the wizard magic or is this the Lashiel getting in the way?
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both would make sense.
Yep. Oh, well, that's why Harry falls for it so easily.
But yeah, he wants, yeah.
Twist, oh, no.
Twist my arm. Yeah. Oops, I couldn't get through. Oh, well, time to go.
God, hate when that happens.
Kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, she didn't hear me. Mom, it's okay if I do this right. Well, she didn't say no, I'm good to go. But yeah.
So here's where we find out that Harry fibbed a little bit to Murphy about his income.
Just a little.
Because,
why? Because he doesn't live with Murphy and he doesn't have to tell her everything anymore. She knows I get a paycheck. She doesn't have to know exactly how much. This was so cool the first time around.
Yes.
And I love, like, it has just, like, a little extra layer. It's like, makes it, like, the fine dining of a burger or something on the reread where he's just hinting around it for these first few sentences while they, we're not working on it again. And put me down in the, and then the big reveal.
What is it? What is it?
What is it?
And just, yeah, originality. This is one of the really pure, like, Harry's the only one with this.
I even wrote that in my notes. I was like, the level of ingenuity of this concept is astounding. Good job, Butcher.
It's just across fandoms and whatever.
Good. And now this does exist in, like, movie magic. You know, there's a miniature Hogwarts fully built Hogwarts so that the camera can, like, you know, zoom in and do a flying aerial and for a million and one other supernatural fantasy-based things.
Not as a concept in itself. That's exactly. But that's what I mean is cool. You get, like, sure, you go into, like, Star Wars or something like that and they've got, like, holograms of places.
But this little Chicago is an idea, an original.
Practical magic is just fucking great.
It's just fucking Jim Butcher and Harry Dresden, you are the two smartest motherfuckers in the world. What a cool fucking idea.
Cool fucking idea. Now again, practically, holy fucking
It's explained right now how hard this is.
Are you?
I had to go and get a chip from every building that I want. A fucking
tree.
The mulch, the trees,
now,
the
again,
gravel.
I'm gonna guess.
How do you you have to write all that shit down and make sure it's all
documented? He had 100 baggies in his pocket every day coming home, like building one, building two, building three.
Intimately. Well, yeah, not even just that. Like very specifically labeled because you can't just
He's not using a camera. Yeah,
no, that's when I would have had Lash doing inventory for me. Remember this?
Oh, maybe we just hit the nail on the head. Harry's like, oh, gosh, shit, you just keep track of.
I was going to say the other thing you could have done is, like, hire out somebody to be, like, hire a group of people to do it.
Yeah, but I couldn't, like, you have to trust them to, like, their organization.
I don't know if he says it here or later. I'm just making it up, but I also feel like there's only a certain amount he can do to that, too, because, again, right,
Bob tells him, as Chicago changes, your shit's going to come expire.
Well, that, too, yeah, but we'll more layers of, right, everybody handling it and touching it and whatever before Harry gets it, right, where if he just goes and gets it himself. So having people do it is, again,
diluted.
The diluted thank you could be, and I don't know if I'm just making that up from somewhere or whatever.
Well, it would make sense for, like, the lore that we've been presented.
Yeah, it makes sense from everything we know.
Right, yeah, which is why I'm like, maybe they do mention it somewhere. But regardless, like, yeah, things like that. And then just, again, to be able to trust that the guy's like, I don't know, one piece of gravel looks like another piece of gravel. Like, again, you wouldn't necessarily be able to trust without being able to explain and put into it. I mean, again, we all know that. Everyone's like, you work for Walmart. Let's do the Walmart chant. And Walmart employees are actually, yeah, you can walk out of here with a big chain TV. I'm not even going to stop you because I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Right? It's like, you can care about where you work, but there's always a... But yeah, that's the thing that blows my mind.
It's a colossal project.
And I was going to say, again, I assume he's doing it kind of in a one tree in every 100 feet or something like that. So specific important buildings. But I'm like, hopefully he didn't walk down the street and get a piece of bark from all 57 trees on the street. Hopefully just every 5th or 10th tree would give him, like, again, if say your perspective for being able to zap into it is like, 5-foot radius around each thing. Then if there's 3 trees within that 5 feet, you know what I mean? Like, I just kind of feel that they're going to overlap, right? So if you get this 5 foot and this 5 foot, even if there's 6 things in between,
and
I suppose
he could be pickier with certain areas that are like hotbeds of
exactly
activity.
And I'm assuming even scaling it down a little bit to that you didn't actually go and pluck every blade of grass and every, I'm like, that's, like you say, that's still like 10 trees on a block instead of like 50 trees on a block, but you've still gone down that block to cover, I need a piece of sidewalk to cover the sidewalk for this area. I need a piece of tree to cover the trees in this area. I need to chip off the building to cover this blade there. Holy fuck.
You know how epic this is when Bob even says that it's cool.
Right. And Bob is like, it's kind of funny. I find it almost slightly canceling out. What's the word I'm looking for?
Negate?
Negating itself. Yeah. Because when he comes, he's like, oh my God, like, we've been working on it. It's fine. It's good. It's whatever. And blah, blah, blah. And you've been doing. And like a few minutes later, he's like,
not half bad.
Yeah. And I was like, well, no shit. You've just been complaining that you guys have been working your asses off on it. You're like, give me 5 minutes where I don't have to work on this. And then you're like, wow, Harry, you've done a lot of work. This is cool. I'm like, how else is he been setting it up? Like, it was just kind of funny
a chance to actually stop and reflect, right? It's different than when you've been, like, plugging away.
And again, if you look at it,
it's one
of those things you're not necessarily going to read. And it kind of like how, again, every time they introduce a character, you know, they're like, oh, this is my best friend, Susie Green. I'm like, never in my life do I think about, this is my best friend, Jessica Heist. I'm like, it's Jess, or it's Jess, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they always have to introduce, or again, how often people use names, like, you know, if I'm talking, like, say the three of us talking together, sure, I might use like Jess's name a lot because I've got Tanzan in here as well, so I can't just say you or she. But I was like, if it's just you and me, I'm not addressing you by your name very often. Yet all the time in books, they're like, come on, Jazz, you know what we're doing, or come on, Tanzan, that's not, and I'm like, I like 1 in a million times use somebody's name in a conversation with them, whereas in, right? So I'm like, again, it's probably just first time read, whatever, you'd just be like, wow, this is super cool. But I'm like, if you think about the actual, like, if this was actually a conversation they would be having, Bob would be like, you know, this is fucking cool already.
Another thing that Bob says in here is that we've been working on it every single night for 6 months.
6 months.
Which means, you know, this must have been rattling around in Harry's head for a while already, because, you know, he started this in, what, January then? That's only a few months after the end of the last book, where he was like, I need to just get working on
this. Not too far after Halloween, where he's like, okay, shit's going down. I need to monitor everything and everywhere, because I can't...
Yet. Almost all the time since we last saw him has been spent being invested into this.
And it's funny, because if you think about it, actually, well, the last book is one of the ones where we've... I mean, maybe not, maybe if I stop and think it through, we'll find out. But the last book, right, we're like, he had to go to the Field Museum, and he had to go to the morgue, and he had to go to the museum, and he had to go to Wacker Street. And he like, it just feels like there was so much running. And
well, again, when he had Morty pull up that map of dead spots around the city,
maybe that's part of why it feels like it is, because we see it.
If only I could look in on these spots. Exactly. But it's just, it's fucking...
But yeah, now he's like, yeah, let me be where I can just jump around so I don't have to take like 3 days to visit. But yeah, super. And again, for somebody like you say, now all of a sudden he's ramping up to be in the middle of the next big thing. I get it.
I bet you the last couple of weeks that he's shown up for D&D night with the alphas, they've been like, your miniature building, Harry, is getting...
Why do they... So it's like he's lying. It's like all of a sudden you've just like leveled up big time on... But yeah, that's the thing, like, and I mean, certain things, like, again, it's probably not that hard to go to somebody that makes miniatures and be like, give me the Field Museum. Okay, lots of references. Again, assuming that, you know, he's not ordering this shit online and he's going to somebody in town. No problem. You live here, you work here, you're probably really familiar with it. Plus, it's a huge, big thing. There's so many pictures
99. Online. 99.9% of blueprints are accessible by anyone.
All of it, right? It wouldn't be that. But
I mean,
like...
is he making them? I thought he was getting somebody to make them.
Some and some. I think it's a little bit of both. Certain things. But yes, that's what I'm saying is that for him to go to somebody, I'm like, yeah, you're like, go build me the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, like the actual
no problem.
Model building. But then he's the one who has to infuse, like, the real
all the magic. And I'm sure
life.
Some of the little things, like some of the little trees and stuff like that is, yeah, he's like, I can probably put together a pine tree and infuse it with the cone from this tree. But that's what I mean, though. That's my point I'm getting to, is that to go and be like, okay, I need you to make this copy of Tanzin's house. This is kind of what it looks like. This, like, you know what I mean?
To a 1 to 24th scale, and don't fuck it up.
And don't fuck anything. And it's just that for all the sort of non-iconic,
but I have golden nuggets, so do it.
Well, exactly right. And, like, what are they thinking? Like, and again, you can, you don't necessarily, you know, just be like, sure, build me a house. Like, here.
You just punched yourself in the face, folks.
I didn't exactly.
I was noticing today you're quite flailing.
I'm flailing.
Confirms
today.
It. Because you keep hitting things, too.
Just because I knocked my headphones and my glasses off the face from the side. It was, I got an itch.
Beating on the couch.
I got an itch, and my hands started coming in before it had cleared. It's like a dog with a cone. You forget, you don't, that's, my outline doesn't end where
she
I think.
She just called herself a bitch.
Take when I can get. I don't get to very often, so. But yeah, so just like go in and take a picture and be like, okay, build me a model of this house or something like that could be like, okay, cool. Or even just like a bunch of them be like, okay, maybe he's making like a little Christmas scene. He wants all these little houses. But you know, to be coming and be like, build me this replica of a Walmart. Build me this replica. And you'd be like, the Walmart on like 52nd Street? And you're like, yes, I need... What the fuck are you doing?
I'm really,
like, you know?
Obsessed with Walmarts.
Well, it's just one of the first things that came
out. And you fucking...
Do you think they're actually
measure
proper?
Measure that garden gate center.
I was just going to say, you were talking earlier about catchphrases and mines, but be like, how tall
Walmart,
is the Walmart?
Walmart.
I guess sort of assume that they're like solid pieces. They're not like hollow or like actual insides.
I feel like...
I'm straight up imagining like the way just little engineers and architects build tiny little models.
Oh,
like it's just all white paper sort of a thing. Like,
oh, that's funny. I tend to envision it the other way. More like, I would say like...
Because
like,
that pewter model, so you've got a proper
like... Oh, that's
like,
what he does. Maybe
outside,
that's why, because
like
he does
mold,
think... Yeah,
and you,
I'm thinking...
You fill
like,
it and then put your
that's what
token
thinking,
piece in it, and it's a solid piece.
That's how I am. You're right. Not because he does... You're right. He does say it's all made out of pewter, which is probably why exactly I envision it more like when you get like little... miniature model, like,
because making the inside would be absolutely
like little
completely insane
lead soldiers or something.
Oh yeah, I don't
think
he's like detailing the inside of any buildings.
No, you're not detailing the inside of it. No. Mm-hmm. I am thinking yes, the outside cast of it. But I'm just saying, like, again, if you were some, like, again, like a D&D place, right? They make, again, if you watch something like Critical Role, you will see the amount of scenarios, right? Bars and wooded areas and volcanoes and dragon, like heat, right? So you have miniatures of, again, elves and tieflings and human beings and orcs. And you, but again, you're like, you just want a random tavern, a random mountain, a random, you might want this or that element. You know, so I'm like, yeah, there's people that are very capable and can be like, no problem, I can whip you up a mountain. I'm just saying it'd be funny, right? Like, if that was you and somebody came in and they're like, oh, I need like a bunch of houses or something, you could make them up. But when they start bringing in, like, again, cause you're like, I don't know, maybe this is like his mom's house and his sister's house and he's building like his own little Christmas village or something, that's kind of cool. That's, but yeah, when you're just like random things of like, I want the 7-Eleven on the corner, I want the, and you were like, kind of like he mentions here where he's like, oh yeah, somebody just like having like a whole model. I'm like, this would be creepy. Like, yeah, you're going to them and they're being like,
at
why?
At that point, it'd be better to outsource to multiple people. So it's just like,
yeah, why do you want this random ass thing? Like, why are you coming in and getting me to make a model of everything in our city? Like, you know what I mean? Like, depending on what he says or how often or to what degree. I was like, that could be really creepy. The fuck do you
and
want?
And then, yes, it's not just the building of Little Chicago. It's not just the collecting of all the pieces, but it's infusing it with magic to the point that it fucking has ley lines.
Right. Ley lines in it, too.
Own ley lines. And, yeah, he's
wicked.
Got... And it's funny. In some ways, you're like, this is a mass... Because he does say it takes up, like, his whole table. And at the same time, you're like, oh, my God. But he also says it goes out for, like, 2 miles in any direction from, like, Burnham Harbor or whatever, which, if I recall correctly, is the same one when they had their little boat accident there with the Daenerians. I think it was down in Burnham Harbor. So I don't know if that's just a main or the main or something. I'm guessing it's maybe sort of centralized too. But 2 miles both isn't a lot. I'm like, sure, when you're talking airplanes, mile high is a long way up and, you know, they go way over. But when you're talking about, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, when I punch in like directions to go from my house to Jessica's and it tells me it's like 20 kilometers. Yeah, I'm like, that's more than 2 miles. Yeah. So you're like, in some ways.
He's definitely not making it out to the Wraith's mansion, which is maybe a problem, but. I mean,
or even if he does eventually, but again, I'm like, how
could you imagine him like walking around trying to collect shit? I'm just gonna take a little piece of your building.
Yeah, right. This guy, he shows up in his landscaper uniform. And he's like, come on,
just painting the roses.
Perfect fanfic right here.
Write that down.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. So I mean, I also like.
Excuse me, Lord Wraith. I know I seem to pop down to the deeps for 1 second. I think I left my wallet last time I was here. Don't mind me. I know I'll be right back.
Real quick. Oh, you guys are having a meeting. I will be gone in just a minute. I just need a rock. Could one of you bleed on this for me?
You don't mind if I scrape the car a little bit here, do you? You won't notice the paint. It's fine.
So I do like to imagine the gym butcher was in his apartment. He's got a map of Chicago, and he's, like, doing a bunch of, like, yarn and pins. And he's like, all right, the next few books are happening in this 100-mile radius. 100-meter radius. He's like, that we're not leaving.
That's why everything happens near Cabrini Green.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, Jim Butcher's just like, he did this whole thing. He's like, exactly what do we have to work with? And he's like, wow, every plot in the book I want to do happens outside of Little Chicago.
Shit.
All right, we're changing location. What's within 2 miles? You're going to happen here. You're going to happen here.
Harry's like, okay, given my caseload lately, this is where I'm going to start and we'll work out from there.
New business cards, no further than 2 blocks from my apartment. I'm fucking tired.
Lost objects found within my neighborhood.
Yeah. I can only afford taxis up to 4 blocks away now. It needs to be far enough away, or it needs to be close enough.
It's like
I can deliver, walk
home. Like free delivery within 2 kilometers. And so he's like, I can work for you, but you got to start paying for this shit because then I have to put out to get there and do anything.
Yeah, his rate should come with a rented car now. I will need to rent a car while I do this investigation.
It's included in the retainer.
Yeah. Normally, you know exactly you expect to pay expenses.
How shitty is your life? You have a private detective on retainer.
Well, given some of these.
Some people, yeah.
It's like serial, like, brides and grooms, and then, like, wacky evil monsters.
Those are yeah. Marcone tried to do it, book one, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, other than the person who's had, like, 7 ex-wives or whatever that he keeps having to get, you know. But everybody else is just, like, evil or something to require that much, you know, constant.
I think the man with 7 ex-wives is probably pretty evil. Well, a little suspicious there.
Depends on...
At least to the wives.
Yeah.
So Bob gives the okay to give Little Chicago a test run, and Harry tells Bob that the gatekeeper informed him of black magic and he wants to try to find find it using the new model.
Yeah.
And apparently Bob knows who the gatekeeper is because he gives ooh, like, ooh, yeah. That guy.
I mean, again, Bob's been around a while. He's had
Bob's
a few owners. Bob's
everyone.
Job is to know everyone. He's probably... He decides he's going to, yeah, take it for a test run and be like, well, let's look around. And some of this, like, yeah, like, what Bob says is how much power.
Yeah.
So his ring that we've seen before, he's like, you can probably flip a car. This is 300 times that. Like, I don't know, aren't we talking like A-bomb or something now?
No, this thing should be like vibrating on the table.
Glowing. I get, but you feel like Harry would, because again, he's like.
It's reactivated the plutonium because it's
yeah.
a
yeah, right? All of a sudden, all those little boxes of tidbits on his yeah. counters are all like, you know, like, why is the shelf melting off the wall now? But okay, but like.
Yeah, he should be able to sense it.
Okay, when he shook hands with Lydia, he got like a little spark, right? When he touched the doorknob going into his office that Mab had like unlocked to letters, he got like a little electric
it's
static
his own
shock.
Magic. He's too when used to it.
Yeah, like, I'm like, this blindness. You've jam this much power into there, and yeah, you're not getting any kind of a read on that.
What I want to know is why didn't he do any test runs with small piece, like small sections?
Should there not
first?
Have been test runs?
Yeah,
like,
right.
It
should have been like block
is your
one,
first?
Block two, block three.
Where it could destroy the city if it goes right. badly.
Each step of the way, especially like
and even the smallest, like that's 6 months worth of work and like huge amounts of effort, even if you have to start it from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Like that's yeah, that's what I was going to
really
say.
Glad he's not a programmer because man fuck.
Right but yeah this is exactly it you're like you
this
think
the problem with not having a boss to report to
sort of test
in your own timeline and you just
right
skip
like
those
talk about hyper focus
right like yeah if you've had to like you know build a spreadsheet or something like I kept doing I was trying we had this spreadsheet to keep it working blah 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 so I was like you know what this is annoying and stupid because again there was like three or four sort of cross references to find information on this. And the gist of it basically was, like, if we paid a deposit on something and if we got the deposit back on the return item or whatever. So it was, like, again, things happened at different vehicles, at different dates, at different, right? So I'm, like, I'm going to make a thing. So I'm, like, I'm going to use some macros because that will organize shit for me and I don't have to. So I was, like, I'm going to color code it so that this and this goes the same so that, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'd never really done it before. So I, like, you know, Google Town. And I talked to, like, my brother who's, like, a computer programmer and all this kind of stuff.
Macros suck.
They can and they do, but for what I needed, I was able to get. And there was just like one piece of it that wasn't working that I had to be like, why isn't it? And he's like, oh, maybe try writing it this way. And I was like, boom, now, right? But exactly, I was like, every step of the way, I'm like, every time I would do something, I'm like, okay, does it work? No. Okay, does it work? No. You know what I mean? Like, fucking every time I changed anything, I was like, is it doing what I want? No. No, I gotta do this. Is it doing what I want? No, no, I gotta do, you know? So I was like, how can you not? I'm like, that was for a fucking stupid spreadsheet that had nowhere near this. And like, I think when I got it, it probably only had like 20 or 30 lines or something of like, not. And I'm like, this is going to be way too much work to have to keep going back and forth and trying to match up. So I'm just going to let the program put it, match everything up for me. And I was
never
like, every
stupid dumb boy.
Right? Like every fucking like time you do anything, like you're checking wallpapers on your phone. You're like, yes, preview. How is this going to,
yeah,
nope,
right.
don't like that. Go to preview. Nope, don't like that. So I was like, how do you put this one time, literal energy and focus?
Bob
and,
said it looked good. Let's go.
And also Bob is like, again, that was my other point. Yeah, is that given that
I didn't even
every
know if
little,
it was going to work in the first
well,
place.
Well, but that every little, right, every time that tree grows a new leaf or a bird builds a nest, it's going to alter the, right? You would be checking this like constantly, right? To make sure like exactly that like nothing major has changed along this street as you...
Too much effort. We got things to do. Go, go, go. This is why I'm also, you know, maybe blaming Bob for like World War II. This is really cool, boss. I'm surprised you haven't shown anyone your work. Did you say that to Kemmler?
Yeah, right?
You say that to Justin Dumore? You should go adopt children so you can start signing them up for your weird zombie program.
Yeah,
like
you know what? This
like,
is too good to keep to yourself.
Was,
let's globalize
yeah.
this.
Like, what do you mean, Bob? He's a wizard. You're supposed to keep secrets. What do you mean? I'm surprised you haven't brought anyone down to your secret lair to show all your
maybe
secrets.
Maybe that's just because he knows it's Harry, and Harry's like, look at this cool shit
I know,
got.
But come on, Bob. I was like, what a stupid fucking suggestion. You think Bob would be the first person to be like, stop fucking bringing people home. What the fuck?
Yeah,
he's
like,
shit
it's like you're finally building something cool and like evil overlordy, Harry.
Yeah,
what the
right?
fuck are you doing? Showing
we're
the dog.
Finally in Bob's purview.
Why are you suddenly using it to play D&D every other week, Harry? Like, right? That's not why we made this.
Mm-hmm. Bob's the real one that's been slowly influencing Harry Evil this whole time.
Evil, good. Bob has no concept. How does he know? So he just is. He's just doing.
So Bob asks what exactly the gatekeeper shared and lets Harry know that he was likely... intentionally vague as to present any potential paradoxes. And here's where we get into some really big
time travel concepts. 101.
If you kill my grandpa, how was I? Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm mildly surprised. I was like, you couldn't work any Back to the Future references in this? Isn't this a good time for pop culture, Harry, and da-da-da-da-da? Which was super cool because that's what
The DeLorean in a few more books. Okay, wait.
But I was like, it was cool because at our expo this year, that's what we had was Back to the Future. So we had like Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and the girlfriend. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name offhand. And the DeLorean and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of cool actually having that here this year.
Nice.
I didn't go get to see Michael J. Fox or anything, so I was working it. But I did walk past the DeLorean a couple of times.
Great Scott!
Great Scott! Yeah, I don't want to alarm anybody, but Michael J. Fox is aging.
Crazy.
Yeah, he does not look the same as he did in that movie, folks, let me tell you.
Oh my God, it's only been like 40 years.
Yeah.
So...
major illness.
Starting to show. Yeah.
The rules presented here by Bob all make sense. They all seem fair. Pretty good understanding. This is why we don't fucking time travel.
How do I leave open enough things to let me do what I want to do and close off enough things that we can't just make it simple and done?
Time travel is illegal, but the gatekeeper is cheating.
There are loopholes.
Yeah.
Kind of like Harry and his fairies. I'm not mind controlling. I'm not summoning. I'm not binding. There are fairy, not
so Harry
a
is not the only one that lives in the area of gray.
Choice to take my deal. Exactly. Let's just, how do we bend the rules a little bit?
So he some way somehow could have potentially left a clue for himself from the future. That's weird.
I was going to say, you can see going forward, right? I can write a note to myself right now and, you know, put it in a safe deposit box not to be open for 50 years. But yeah, so how does the 50-year forward version of it get it back to?
Yeah, and how is it not cheating?
How is that
and,
not?
And you can employ spirits that can, like, divine the future, which is also not cheating. Or
yeah,
you can learn how to do
before.
It yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, or yeah, you can become a fortune teller psychic, kind of. That's not cheating.
Or, like, Morty talking to the ghost.
Yeah, but you can't actively, like, yeah, no actual DeLoreans involved kind of a thing, because that's a major. But it does. I admit. That one I wondered too. I was like, how do you kind of sneak? And again, is it in the vagueness of it or whatever? But yeah, how does he enable a message to go back to without crossing over that much?
So yes, if it's done subtly, if it's done indirectly, you can get a lot of things changed and you can do it. But the point is that you can't create a paradox which would destroy your own timeline, because you might just then destroy the entire world.
Which we're assuming, because we can't prove it.
But on account of the fact that we're all still alive right
as
now.
As Bob says, yeah, the fact that reality still exists, we haven't. And I don't mind how, like I say, we were just complaining a little while ago about, like, explaining what an attack of opportunity is and how we just totally miss Murphy's whole psychic trauma and stuff like that. This, I don't mind the whole explanation here of going back through sort of, and like why Harry's like, I don't see why that would be a problem. You know, because you're like, again, everybody sort of by this point has heard the whole, well, if I go back in time and kill my grandfather, how was I ever born?
Well, these are new concepts, and we have to establish the lore.
Yeah, and that's what I like. I like that they're taking, it's not just as simple, because of course Harry's heard of that shit too. I'm sure Harry knows a million reasons. I mean, back in book 1 and 2 and 3, when he was mentioning things and the
well,
laws
that's all
and
great
why
and fine
can't.
For the normies, but I'm a wizard. I can do whatever I
exactly.
want.
Exactly. And how is when he's like, well, if the gatekeeper did it, how? And I do kind of like this explanation that we get, that it is a little bit original for, because again, it sounds like, well, imagine your car was going to be stolen. I'm like, this is such a dumb, like, you know what I mean? But Harry's like, okay. And he's like, yeah, if you just do it, it changes the world and everyone goes poof. And he's like, but if he tells you and you just move it, and then instead of getting hijacked by a junkie that kills you, you get hijacked by a professional that leaves you alone. And you're like, oh, I like that distinction between. And again, it was just a slightly more original concept than the ones we've heard before and the ones that where you could just pull out the arguments that exist already. But I was like, I kind of have. And again, it's because, yeah, Harry's
which
like,
still
I
seems
don't.
Seems paradoxy to me, because.
A little bit. But again, depending on what the major arc, right? Again, if it's not the car getting stolen, that was important, but the person getting killed, then it's fine that the car still gets stolen.
But there's no way to know. Unless, I guess, you've lived in the future and you know which one. But
well, but that's what I mean, yes. Right? You have to, I mean, again, I just, whatever.
No,
it's still,
does,
I mean, I think that's kind of their point, too, is that exactly. Which is why we don't fuck with it, because you never know that butterfly wing or a world war.
Learn from Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Martian.
So then, all of this to say is that Harry might just be simply a pawn for the gatekeeper, that whatever the gatekeeper is doing
doesn't really have anything to do with it at all.
It's barely got anything to do with you at all. He just needs to nudge something just enough to ensure that it's a pro and not an amateur doing the carjacking. Mm-hmm.
Or that it's a pro and not a con.
Or whatever, right? So,
but
interesting to say where Harry falls in all this. He doesn't know, but if the gatekeeper wants him to look for black magic in Chicago, looking for black magic in Chicago is what he must do.
Mm. Right. And it's an interesting way to bring it all back around to that, where he's like, again, that's maybe not what we're looking for at all, right? But it's kind of like those vision things or whatever, you know? They're like, can you see, you know, how many times the basketball players pass the ball and you don't notice the gorilla crawl, or almost the opposite of that or whatever, right? He's like, as long as you're paying attention, even if it doesn't really matter who the basketball players are, but you're going to see this other thing that happens while you're, because that's where your attention is focused, right? So it's kind of a cool way that way, how it sort of comes back around.
So yes, back to Little Chicago. How do we track down the black magic? And I do like, yes, pain is not good enough. Did you just say that?
Yeah, no, we didn't, no. Yeah. Not that specific example, but yes, I do. And he's like, oh, well, what about the whole like BDSM community? It was like, thank you for acknowledging other. It's kind of like Harry says when he's talking to Murphy too, and he's like about the mind control and stuff like that. And he's like, okay, so it starts out innocently enough. You make the cheerleader go out with you. And then he's like, or I guess, you know, the guys, if we're going to be PC about it and stuff. It's like, thanks for just recognizing that other side there, Harry, but you're, you know, let's make sure. It was like, actually, there's a lot of people out there.
I think, yeah, gay marriage had just been legalized right about the time this book was written, published.
Oh, perfect. There you go. It was in the topic. But exactly, like, yeah, you think when you start, again, like pennies just aren't important enough to bother with. You're like, oh, yeah, you think about it. There is a lot of pain that goes down every day, from someone getting their toe stubbed to somebody getting mugged to somebody spanking. Like, exactly. I'm like, it's a whole thing out there. I was like, yeah, I like how, you know, and he's like, and again, with fear, right? He's not like, oh, my mom's going to find out I took that cookie. He's like, terrifying fear. Like, let's just, yeah, let's narrow the parameters. And I'm like, see, that's being smarticle. That's, you're right. Open enough to bring in a lot, but closed enough that, yeah, you're not going to get,
yeah, terror is our key.
Terror is our, yeah, not just. Which is probably good, because you imagine how many people would be like, you know, like, again, like you're afraid they're going to find, like, the birthday surprise or something, and all of a sudden you've got some crazed, like, 6'9" wizard showing up on your doorstep, and you're like, I just didn't want to find the box of chocolates I got her for her birthday.
So Harry takes a moment to weigh his options and do a risk assessment, and without much surprise is willing to risk his life to do what he thinks is right.
Uh-huh. Which I like, too, how Bob is like, could ripple out in alterations that you can't predict, and backlash into consciousness and drive him insane. He's like, which, you know, might not do much to deter other wizards. Might not do much to deter you, but other people. It's like, once again, it's like, okay, you're crazy and you don't mind fucking yourself up, but other people normally wouldn't do this, Harry.
But that's why I like Harry's, you know, justification to himself so much, when he's like, okay, would it kill me to slow down? No, but it will kill someone else.
Right.
It's like, you know, that's very quintessential Harry.
At least he's consistent.
That's why we always gotta act fast, act hard, go, 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 because people are dying in the meantime.
Act fast, act hard. Mm-hmm. Put that on a t-shirt.
This concludes our episode 17.3, Under the Temporal Influence. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.